Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to
Femen About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
On Stitcher, iTunes, and archived also here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right, so we'll start with some announcements before we get to the main guests. First up is Heritage Radio Network, this absolutely wonderful not-for-profit radio station that is providing you with this podcast, has had a Kickstarter going to help rebuild their website to make it more user-friendly, more user-interactive, and just overall better, period. So they made their Kickstarter. They now have $37,673 pledged of their $35,000 goal. There are 22 hours left to go. That's it, 22 hours, and they'd really like to make their stretch goal. So please help us out if you go to kickstarter.com and search Heritage Radio Network, or actually if you just Google Heritage Radio Network or your, you know, search engine of choice, Heritage Radio Network Kickstarter, you will find a way, and you have a chance in the next 22 hours to not only help support this amazing station and shows like ours, but there's some really good prizes. So check it out. Kickstarter.com, Heritage Radio Network.
That's right. Speaking of helping out, Brunity is holding its second event this Sunday, May 17th. As many of you know, the Lower East Side in Manhattan got hit with a pretty devastating blast, which affected local businesses such as Jimmy's No. 43, Burp Castle, as well as many other places. Some people were displaced from their homes for a moment. And we are holding an event called Suds in Solidarity. It will be held at the 6th Street Community Center on 6th Street between Avenue B and C. Tickets are $25 in advance, $30 day of Sunday, May 17th. You can go to Brunity.com to find out more information about the event. We're serving some homebrew. Mary's got some crazy stuff going on. What you bring it? Be ahoy. Be ahoy is what you're bringing.
Or a Swanky. Or maybe both.
And or. It's going to be very fun. And you should come.
That is this Sunday, by the way. So if you're in New York City and you're looking for something delicious to do on Sunday, go grab your ticket.
Brunity.com, BrewNity.com.
All right, so we're in the midst of the second annual Queen's Beer Week. So it started on May 8th, and it continues through the 17th, which is this Sunday. So I don't know, you guys outside of New York City might not know, but the borough of Queens has more breweries than any other borough in New York City. So we have just reached 7 breweries and 1 cidery in the absolutely amazing borough of Queens, and they are celebrating their beer all week long. So not only does this mark the second week of Queens Beer Week, but it's the newest, the 7th brewery opening in Queens called Long Island City Beer Project. Kuzme?
Long Island City Beer Project with Gianni Carici, Damon Oscarson, and brewer Daniel Acosta making amazing beers. It's very exciting. We're so excited to have them on the scene now. Friday night at Alewife, they will be there at 8 p.m. With some of their freshest beers, their newest beers. But Saturday, their tap room will be open, I believe, from noon to 8 p.m.
This is a first time at the Public. So they're located kind of north Long Island City, I guess, is what it would be called. It's kind of the unofficial neighborhood of Dutch Kills, area of Dutch Kills. So this is your first chance. It's New York City's first and only cool ship.
That's right.
And what are we going to be doing Friday before Alewife?
Mary and I have done a collaboration with Big Alice Brewing Company, and we have a beer called Mice Elf, myself. So we would love you to come taste myself.
What kind of beer is it?
It's a Belgian double IPA brewed with Kyle Hurst and John Kilty, and we really hot blasted it in the end of it. It was very, very awesome. A lot of citrus and co atop a Pilsner wheat and oats base with their house Belgian yeast strain, and it's really, really, really lovely. I'm very excited about it. So that's pregame, 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday night. Then 8 p.m. we're going to support our friends from the Long Island Beer Project, City Beer Project.
And on that note, Chris and I are very excited to have our second beer together at our newer Gypsy Brewing Company called Cousette Libations. So our second beer is coming to market this week. It's called Revenge of the Emu. It is a single galaxy hopped Australian sparkling ale.
Dedicated to the Great Emu War of 1932, which is a real thing. Apparently, there were so many emus running rampant in Western Australia that the government got involved and they got the army involved in trying to eradicate the emus. And they were shooting at the emus with all these machine guns, and they lost. The emus were too fast, and so this is kind of. But one of them's mad, and so this is Revenge of the Emu. That's our beer. And now on to our show.
All right, we're super excited to have Lita Scheintaub. So she is a guest that we've had on the show before. And she and her husband, Nash Patel, own Dosa Kitchen Food Truck up in Vermont. So are you guys on?
We are.
Awesome. All right, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, so we are super excited because I have to say Dosa is kind of one of my favorite foods right now. This is a food that I was never exposed to doses, I think, until I moved to New York City. And on Friday, Chris and I were out. We had to run an errand in Long Island. So we were in Hicksville, Long Island. And it turns out that Hicksville, Long Island has a proliferation of Dosa restaurants. So we had a wonderful lunch buffet that included doses, kind of as homework leading up to the show.
That's right.
And it got us even more excited. So we're so excited to have you guys on the show and talk about, what are doses, the ins and outs of Dosa making, and all about your Dosa Kitchen truck up in Vermont.
But first, let's get a refreshment. Who are you guys? Why are you here?
My name's Lita Scheintaub, and I've been experimenting with fermentation for the past decade and a half. I wrote a book called Cultured Foods for Your Kitchen, 100 Recipes Featuring the Bold Flavors of Fermentation, and I was on your show last fall
sharing that episode.
And the book explores making your own ferments and using them in everyday recipes. And I started with kefir and experimented with many different ferments. I'm from New York and moved up to Brattleboro, Vermont 5 years ago with Nash. When I met Nash, I was turned on to the Dosa, which is fermented, of course. And the rest is history, really. I'll let him introduce himself and tell you about himself.
Okay, my name is Nash, and I'm from South India. The city is Hyderabad, India. I grew up eating dosas, idlis, vadas, uttapams, everything fermented, and yeah.
We'll get into what all those are in a little bit.
Awesome. So obviously, Nash, you grew up with fermented foods, and Lita, you've really got tuned into them and are doing a bunch along the way. That's super exciting. So yeah, let's start with what is a dosa. So like I said, I don't think I ever had dosas or ever encountered them until I moved to New York City, and I'm sure that's true across the country. They're still I feel like they're becoming a little more popular, but they're really relatively unknown. The whole scale. So what is a dosa?
A dosa is a fermented rice and lentil crepe that's crispy and tangy and delicious. And it's naturally gluten-free and dairy-free. Eaten by millions of Indians every day. That's a staple food, rice. The rice and lentils are soaked and 4 hours, and then they are fermented for another 8 hours, 7-8 hours.
Then it's browned.
And then you grind it into a batter,
And then it's basically you're cooking this on dosa, for those of you who've never experienced them, are this wonderfully kind of tangy, crispy thin, delicious thing. So it's cooked on a, you know, it's cooked very thin on kind of a hot griddle, right?
Yes, yeah. So you bring the griddle. You can use a nonstick pan or a cast iron, and you heat the pan with you heat it up to a high flame or a medium flame, and then you cool it down with water, and it's like you cool it down, and at the same time you're greasing the pan at the same time. So you use two-in-one method, and then you put in the batter, and you go in a circular motion, and you make a round circle with it.
And the harder you
press down, you get it. The more you spread, you can get a crispy. There are different ways of doing dosa, so there are different types of dosas too. So we can get into that. Dosas thin and crispy. And then there's the uttapam, which is thicker and soft, and then there's the set dosa. And after you put the dosa on, you add a little oil to it, and then you flip it. It's like a pancake, but...
And that's the main difference people find very interesting, that you sort of oil the pan, not really oil it, but there's a coating, sort of like how you keep a cast iron skillet in good shape. But the oil gets drizzled in after the batter goes on and after it starts to bubble a little bit. And so the oil cooks into it, and that's how it releases from the pan. Some folks don't use oil, but it's crispier and tastier when you use oil.
Does the oil get drizzled right onto the dosa or around the sides of the dosa?
The sides and in it, too. Yeah, a lot along the sides and then into it, too, like where the holes start to... the form, the bubbles.
So you guys mentioned uttapam, and that is, so that's the same dough, it's just thicker, is that correct?
Yes, it's just thicker, and and the uttapams are different styles. You can put, in India they use, they put in fresh onions, fresh green chilies, it's spicy, they put in fresh tomatoes in it. So as you put the dough down, it's like a pancake, so as you put the dough down, you can... You just put in all these fresh ingredients into it, and then you flip it, and the onions and the tomatoes and the green chilies is known as an onion chili uttapam, the classic uttapam, and you just eat it like bread, and you can have it with sambar, which is the lentil soup, they call.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Made out of drumsticks and... tomatoes, and there are different versions of that.
And that drumstick is a vegetable.
And it's a drumstick.
Not a drumstick. It's the name of a vegetable.
It's the name of a vegetable.
So kind of traditional doses, sometimes they have fillings, sometimes they don't. And how do people eat it?
Some of them have, like you can just, like how you would have a tortilla. Sometimes.
Burrito.
But people just break it with their hand. They take each piece and they dip it into the mashed potato. That's the classic. You get a mashed potato. It's known as the masala dosa, is the classic.
Okay.
And the dosas variate, like from paper masala to masala. So the paper masala is like thin and crispy, long, 20-inch, 25-inch dosa.
Very dramatic.
It's dramatic. It's like big, like a big pipe. And they have, and those are the paper masalas. And they have different versions. They have a vegetable version. Each family in India has a different style of how they eat the dosa. So, and they're known, in where I'm from, they have a different style of dosa known as pesaratu. So sometimes you don't need to, you can make the dosa, but you don't need to ferment it. It's known as a quick dosa, so all you do is soaking the lentils, and you make the batter, and everything is fresh. You put in green chilies, you put in onions, ginger, and you make a quick dosa, which is flavored, like a flavored dosa.
Ah. And so the quick dosa, you would still soak the lentils for 4 hours, right?
Yeah, you would still soak that for 4 hours or an overnight. Yeah.
But you wouldn't ferment for 8 hours, and if you ferment over eight hours, then you get kind of dangerously sour, right?
Yeah.
We haven't tried it. I've been meaning to try it, fermenting it.
We did.
That's why I bring it up.
We've made doses at home, and we did. We let it go a little long just because we got busy and everything, and it was definitely edible. Actually, it had a ton of flavor, but it was pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So really fermenty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on that note, we are going to take a very quick break. We will be right back to talk more about what you guys do with doses in your Dosa kitchen truck and some of the other great fermented stuff that you make to go along with it.
Ferment about it.
L Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Ferment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. It is Monday, May 11th, and we are on the phone with Nash Patel and Leda Shantaub. And Nash was born in Edelbad, South India, and has a Dosa Kitchen food truck, South Indian Soul Food, and we're talking all things dosas.
So where are you guys in Vermont?
How long?
No, where?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're Brattleboro, Vermont. It's the southernmost part of Vermont, Exit 1.
And how long have you had the Dosa Kitchen food truck? How did you guys... let's just start with how long have you guys been around doing...
We started last August, and we went through the end of October. And then we continued making and selling doses at the Brattleboro Winter Farmers Market. We closed the food truck, and it was like... halfway covered with snow for quite a while. We had so much snow here, could barely get to it. So, and we just opened again on May 1st. So we were starting a full season this year.
And what was it? What compelled you to bring doses to the public in Vermont?
Well, we're both very oriented toward food, the two of us, and Nash had a job at a bakery, and he was ready to move on from that and really do something on his own, and he's an amazing Indian cook, and he makes wonderful dosas, and I would always ask him, when are you going to make dosas, it would be like a special treat, and we just thought this could be a good business, making dosas. Nobody has that around here, that we're actually the only South Indian eatery in Vermont. And people seem to love them, and they're gluten-free and dairy-free, and
everything you serve on the truck or from Dosa Kitchen is gluten-free, right? All your offerings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's pretty easy to do when your main base is gluten-free.
That's true. So let's talk about we have the menu sitting right in front of us. So you guys offer several different fillings for dosa plates, and then you also offer dosa wraps. So let's talk about, you guys do a curry of the day as well as a couple of other standard curries. So let's talk about developing, how do you guys choose what, your curry of the day?
Well, the first day of the season, we went with the masala dosa. That's the mashed potato because it's classic, so we thought we'd open with that. And we still had potatoes from the winter. So that, you know, that plays a big part in what we choose. It, over the winter, we did a lot of sunshine squash and butternut squash because that was went through the whole winter.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go seasonal. And this week we're planning on making a fiddlehead fern curry because those are in season.
Awesome.
Yeah. And ramps. Yeah, ramps nice. Are coming next. So for those are for the vegan curries. And we always make a chicken curry. It'll be a slightly different style depending on what Nash feels like cooking, but usually a coconut base. And then we do a local lemongrass pork curry, which isn't totally traditionally Indian, the lemongrass, but we just love it, and it makes a great filling.
Cool.
And then we'll have specials like on Cinco de Mayo. We did a pork tinga. It's a chipotle pork stew because really so many fillings go with a dosa. It doesn't have to always be Indian.
I can imagine. Absolutely. That sounds amazing. So let's talk about, you guys have a series of dosa wrap. What is a dosa wrap?
So the wrap is a thicker, it would be an uttapam, what Nash was describing before, a thicker version of the dosa, thicker and smaller. And it's a perfect wrap material. I was making a falafel and sort of a different kind of falafel made with nuts. And I thought this would be perfect wrapped into a dosa. And we tried it out and we put tahini sauce on it and cabbage salad and wrapped it up. And it was perfect. And it just, it holds all our fillings. So you'd have chicken in it or the pork and... it's a nice grab-and-go kind of lunch option just for people who work in town here and they can get it. And it's a little more affordable than the larger plates or if you're looking for something a little smaller.
Cool. And you have everything from a vegan curry to, you said, like you mentioned, your nutty falafel to a kimchi wrap. You have a Grafton cheddar, which is a local cheese,
right.
And a cheese and sauerkraut wrap. So where do you guys, are you making your own kimchi and sauerkraut? Are you sourcing that locally?
Yeah, we make our own kimchi and sauerkraut. We spent a lot of time this winter making it while both kinds, the Napa cabbage and the other cabbage were in season. We filled three refrigerators full of the kimchi and the sauerkraut, and we'll be able to use it up until we can get more of it. And we use the sauerkraut in a salad. Also, we make a kale and sauerkraut salad. It's a masala sauerkraut, so it's got a bunch of Indian spices like cumin, fennel, turmeric, coriander, and we sell bottles of that on the truck as well as putting it into our foods and a nice way of getting ferments into various aspects of our menu.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then we have the dosa dog, which is our signature dish. It's a local beef and pork hot dog wrapped in a thick dosa, an uttapam, and we have a house fermented mustard, the masala sauerkraut, and the Grafton cheddar, the local cheddar, and hot sauce. And that's our alternative hot dog. And people really like that one.
That's so fun. Oh, this is fun. And you have beet kvass.
Yeah, right. We have beet kvass. And we were talking about that on the show last time.
That's right. The recipe.
Yeah. So we make the kvass and we sell it on the truck. Slowly people are catching on a little bit to beet kvass. You don't expect to see it in an Indian food truck.
Right.
But really cool thing that we do with it is when we're at the bottom of the jar, we take those beets and we chop them up and we throw them into the salad. And it looks really beautiful that way.
And I was having this idea about taking the beet kvass and maybe making it into a slushy and wondering how would that be.
You should see Mary's face right now with that one.
That was, yes, please, try it. Let us know. That sounds amazing. Also, I think that's cool that you mentioned that you're using the leftover beets in a salad, because that is actually a question I see quite often on the internet or that I've heard people ask. You know, when you make a kvass, what do you do with the leftover beets. So I think that's a great way to use them.
And
then I have to ask, you have something called a Vermont Sweetwater soda. What is a Vermont Sweetwater soda?
It's a local brand here, and it's really delicious. I am really opposed to selling commercial sodas in general, and I really like this brand because it's local, and it's much less sugar than typical sodas. And they have all different flavors, a root beer, a cola, bunch of fruit flavors. And they also have a maple seltzer, which is made from the sap of the maple tree.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's just slightly sweet and really refreshing.
How often does your menu change?
Well, we have a sort of a set menu that you're looking at and folks can see on our website. And that it's pretty set for the summer, but we'll add specials and since the curries can change, they can change every couple of days or every day or every week.
And what about the chutneys?
Chutney, we generally do a coconut chutney, and once tomatoes come into season,
a tomato chutney.
Yeah, we love that one.
We love
what is a chutney, and how do you make a chutney?
A chutney, it's really simple. You take in you need to get fresh coconut. It's known as you add a green chili to it. We had a little bit of ginger, and you can put either coriander to make it green. And lentils is known as dahlia. It's known as chana dahlia. So it's like a stalked lentil, which is ready. So you just blend all these ingredients together with some water, and you can put water or you can put in coconut milk. And you just, if you have a Vitamix, you can just put it in there and grind it on a heavy speed. And your chutney is ready. And then to finish the chutney, you need to do a tempering process, which is done all over India. You take in hot oil, bring it to a high temperature, and then you put in three ingredients. You put in red chilies, dried red chilies, mustard seed, and curry leaves. And once they all, you put in one item at a time. You put in the red chilies first, and you get this smoky flavor. And then you add that oil to the lentils, and then you cover it. It's a process, and then the smoky flavor remains in the chutney for a while, and then you remove it, and then you can just have it with your hot doses.
Mm-hmm. Are some
and there are different versions of the chutney. Like you can have a sesame chutney. You can make all different types of chutneys, coconut chutney, plain coconut chutney, without any tempering process. You can do a coriander chutney. You can just take any, like you can make a cucumber chutney, just cucumber, and then put a tempo process in it. So like there's so many variations, like hundreds of chutneys you could do, and have it with dosas.
Right, and many are fermented, right? Some chutneys, no, pickled.
They are not fermented.
Okay.
They are all fresh chutneys.
And what would be the tip? So when I would say doses for home cooks, you know, if you don't have anywhere around you that makes a dosa, and you want to make it at home, what would, I find that they're a little bit tricky. What would be tips for people that are looking to make their own dosas?
I would start off with an uttapam because it's thicker and there's less chance of failure less chance of it tearing. And then start making your doses thinner and thinner. And, you know, the great thing about it is that you, even if they tear or they look funny, they're going to taste delicious as long as you cook it through.
Absolutely.
So you just keep practicing and it'll come to you.
Yeah.
And what kind of ratio do you guys recommend for people that are starting out? Ratio of rice to lentils, and what type of lentils, or does that really matter?
The type of lentil is ura dal, and Sometimes people add chana dal, which is a chickpea dal.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a brown texture to it, a nice golden brown texture. So that's people do that. Some people in India do that, and some people don't. So it's various places they do and don't. Most restaurants, I think, add a little chana dal that gives you that golden brown texture, the color to the dosa. Otherwise, if you don't add it, some of the dosas are homemade and they look white. So.
And the dosa recipe is in one of our dosa recipes is in my book, Cultured Foods for Your Kitchen.
Awesome.
Folks can take a look.
Where can we find that book?
You can find it in your local bookstore, hopefully, and online everywhere you can get it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I hope for those of you out there that have never tried a dosa, please go out and seek a dosa at one of your local joints or when you travel. If you happen to be lucky enough to be in Brattleboro, Vermont, please check out Dosa Kitchen, South Indian Soul Food Truck. Thank you guys so much for being on the show, and you're very inspiring, and I'm really hungry for a dosa.
Absolutely. Lita and Nash, we will see you in Brattleboro.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Please.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We missed one announcement at the beginning. This week is not only Queen's Beer Week here in New York City, but it is National American Craft Beer Week, May 11th through 17th. So to find out more and participate in an event near you, please visit www.craftbeer.com. And the site is littered with American Craft Beer Week information. They have a great handy guide to American Craft Beer Week celebrations all over. You can sort it by state or search it by city or whatever. But please check it out. It's craftbeer.com and help celebrate American Craft Beer Week from May 11th to 17th.
American Craft Beer and South Indian Soul Food. Absolutely. They go great together.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.